Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Death ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiancé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
It's Happily Ever After! Woohoo!
Yay, it's a bucket of nails! Yay!
I have a
it's
thought.
It's a flaming gas fire.
What if we just riff on everything? I'm giving out my grandmother, great-grandmother's fruitcake recipe, just listing things. It's like reading when Ted Cruz read The Cat in the Hat. And then the last thing says, yeah, and Jovi and Yara are fighting about going home. We do five sentences about
how we do five sentences. I was at a holiday party last night, and there was like maybe, it was like a dinner party. And there was one person said, oh, they said what I did. Matt does this, today covers 90 Day Fiance. And two people went, oh, I love that show. And they said, I haven't caught up in a while. What's airing right now? I said, well, right now it's Happily Ever After. And they both went, oh.
Yeah, we moved in. Think where you were. I was never really happy. Think where you were at the beginning of this season.
I was happier than you, but you still were. You were very excited about the Libby becoming a YouTube singing star.
That lasted.
That was going to get you through
three episodes.
Two and a half.
And it's now, that. However. Yeah. I'm so thirsty for new content for those two that when Chuck said, I've been dating someone, I went,
I'm Sam calling it now. Chuck's going to be on Single Life, y'all.
Yeah, definitely.
Chuck's going to be on the Single Life. I called Mother Debbie and I'm calling Chuck.
I can't. And I'm, no, that's exactly what I thought
and I'm
happened.
100% here for Chuck dating and him trying to get advice from Libby and especially Andre. Because Andre's going to give...
You're rusty.
Andre's going to give the worst dating advice that anyone's ever...
You know, women are peculiar. They're very bad judge of character. You must go in there and tell them what they want.
Just tell her you like her. If she doesn't like her, then she's stupid. Stupid American.
You already drank your water.
I did drink my water. I'll get some more. Anyway.
You've been under the weather. So that's
yeah,
why
it's better.
Your voice sounds the way it does. And I've been flying, so...
No, I'm on the other end of it. I hope Christina can put like a ding when
no,
I slap my ass
no.
like that every time. Just
we don't
ding.
Have we don't have
you're
that
watching
level of production.
If you're watching the Intimate Portrait,
and
I'm slapping my ass
and don't
right now.
Give her things like that to do. No, that is a waste of her time. She needs to be doing other things.
If you're on the Intimate Portrait, you're sitting right here. You're seeing our little Christmas tree in the back because y'all, we're about to, well, you've already missed it, but we're about to do our holiday live after this.
You've already missed it.
But if you're on the Patreon, you can, you won't see it live, but you can, it's under a post, and you can go and watch it.
You can watch it on demand,
it's
as it were.
Live for the $15 tier, but for anyone on Patreon, $8, $5 tier, or even we'll send it through a post in Supercast, you will be able to watch it through a YouTube, a special private YouTube
Singing
link.
Some Christmas and holiday songs.
Yeah.
And the traditional reading of The Night Before Christmas, it Twas the Night Before Christmas. My version. Unauthorized.
And unwanted.
Who wrote that? Who wrote that?
Oddly, I am kind of looking forward to it. Yeah. And I,
we'll do some.
You're on a long flight today, so y'all probably part two of this episode. Poodle's gonna be on sugar.
Yeah, I'm gonna need something.
No, I brought a. Y'all, we're doing an M&M tasting in our live show, and I did it one because I thought it would be entertaining, and two, and interesting, and three, I gotta hype this bitch up because she flew from New York this morning. She's gonna crash around 5 o'clock today.
And I did six shows in 4 days. And I will tell you all about them in Boodle's Broadway Gala.
It's coming up after the commercial.
Yeah. Because it used to be that Broadway Corner was not a review of the shows, but you ruined it.
So I didn't do a review of the shows.
You did.
I did not. I talked about not being David. That was important. Hey, we do have some collabs coming up this week. We're doing a collab with Kate Casey.
We are.
We're doing anything else?
Just a short segment, though.
Short it's segment. Not a full... And we're recording. That's going to air this week. And then we are recording this week some of our collabs that are coming out.
We're also doing an upcoming one, just another quick one. It seems like we're making cameos everywhere at the end of the year. we're doing, I think I'm doing it. I don't think you are.
Okay. Fine by me. I got enough to do. Who if?
I think with Cara Berry, maybe we talked about that with doing Everyone's Business But Mine.
I
talked to about it.
We talked about it, but I don't know. I'm happy to do it, but if it's just you, that's fine.
No,
too.
I think you had said I wanted to do it, but we never clarified.
We never clarified.
But
that's
did.
Happening now, too?
It's happening next week. Or wait, this week.
Yeah,
holy
that might be just you.
But I'm going to do kind of a segment on her show. So listen to, it's a really, Cara Berry, if you don't know, covers Sister Wives. She covers all the trash garbage. All the garbage trash.
Trash and garbage and garbage trash.
I was on There's talking about Seeking Sister Wife. And, you know, I'm so behind on Sister Wives right now. I know the Janelle stuff is blowing up. I know there are rumors. I think I've heard from one source that they think it's pretty much true that Janelle is leaving Cody after all this time.
Well, that's what I've been seeing
and it's
everywhere.
Only Mary left, but y'all, Mary will never leave because Mary's only purpose in life is to make Cody miserable by being a living visual remnant of the life he created.
Wow.
That is some fucking Miss Havisham shit.
Wow. So we've got a busy week. There's something else we're doing. We're doing the thing with Crappins and Cray Cray that's going to air over the holiday break. And then...
The AUA.
We're going to do a post about
anything.
That.
Yes.
That's going to be coming and because we're going to record that later.
If my plane would have had internet, that was the plan.
So that,
but it didn't.
The AUA. If you're in a Reality Gaze Plus,
even though I was promised,
you're gonna get right now Supercast and Patreon. You're gonna get a Google Doc link. Poodle's gonna send out, and we'll do it as a post so that way Supercast can get it and click on that and you can ask us anything, and we'll answer that and that'll be airing for
9 inches.
Remember, y'all, no to Poodle's coma, no to why it's Poodle,
or
no to
how
why
we met.
Those questions, know about the coma. We've answered all those.
Yeah.
Maybe someone in the Facebook group can do an episode list of the questions we've answered. I know Eliza's done some.
The thing is, some people have done it before.
I know, but we can repost it.
And I know we have new people who've come in.
We've
had a lot of new people in the last. I'm doing like Eagle Pose with my leg right now.
Well, good for you. I don't know if I can do that. You're bendy.
You know what? Since I've been doing yoga, I am so bendy.
Okay. I'm okay to say bendy. When you say
when I'm bendy, it's sexual.
You know,
it's real dirty.
We need to turn on timing.
Oh God, we need timing.
We need timing. Our only hope.
Go close the blinds, please. I'll finish the rest of it. Y'all, it's the same shit show. I'm just back in town. Dolly's back in town. Y'all, what we were saying is we will be going away the week of December 25th through the 1st, but you will have the Crappens Cray Cray and the AUA Ask Us Anything to tide you over when you're waiting to send all your kids back to school.
Yeah.
Because they are out and you wish you were dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a time when, in between Christmas and New Year's, was a time where my mother just walked around with like this.
She hated life. We luckily had, see, we lived more in a neighborhood. So that was, as long as the weather was good, we would go out and play all day.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't really get that cold where we were.
It rains in December sometimes, where we are.
Yeah.
If it doesn't snow.
Or a lot of times what we would, now my mom kind of would get sick because usually we would get a new Nintendo game or something.
Oh, yeah.
So that's when they would let us, basically that week was when we could play the video
play
game
with your toys
all the time if the weather, especially if the weather was bad. And I remember after a while, my mother being like, walking the room and going, dun, 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 get out. I can't stand that music anymore. And that's when we had to like.
Yeah, we had our own area.
We didn't.
We had our own area.
Your mother would have murdered you.
No, it was necessary.
If she dealt with what my.
It was necessary.
Yeah, I think that's why my mom's really good at blocking things out. Because her desk was right off of the living room. She would just hear us playing video games and everything.
I think that's a design flaw.
Well, that's a house they could build. That's what they built.
But we got to get that fixed. Still's not fixed.
I think at this point I'll just leave it.
No!
It just
looks like you're always intrigued.
No, I like it now. I've decided. All right, let's do this. Happily Ever After, Season 7, Episode 16, Part 1. What is this called again?
I don't know.
You start and I'll look it up.
All right, Jenny and Submit. Okay, we're in territory here that we haven't been in a while. It's not that things are really different. Don't worry, y'all. Submit's parents aren't changing. Jenny's not really changing, but she is putting her big chicken balls on the table.
She is putting her big chicken
balls
on.
Y'all, at one point, she just popped up her balls and sat them on the table and had Papa Submit look at her balls.
I don't like this.
And she basically said, y'all remember, she's like, I don't really care about upsetting his family anymore. And she says it in this way. She's like, I'm tired of upsetting the family. And so it's really passive aggressive. Like, she's doing something for the family to take Submit to America. It's masterful.
It's
not going to work, though.
It's not going to work. But I don't know what this episode
because Mama Submit is the master. Mama Submit is
the only person,
Philip Seymour Hoffman,
the only person who could, yes, the only person that could probably in 90 Day Herstory would be maybe Mother Debbie. Maybe.
Yeah, she's pretty good at that shit,
maybe,
too.
Maybe, though. But y'all,
she'd give herself away. She'd explode.
She would, but we need a maniacal master.
Yeah, she's, and the thing is, he knows Dad would probably go along with it if Mom wasn't in the picture, I think.
Dad's best answer is when he says, Anil, that's his name, my wife believes a relationship won't last a few years, and I believe what my wife believes. And I wrote, good answer. That's what you were told to say, and that's what you did.
Because she's a fucking nightmare.
He said, if I say anything that disagrees with her, she'll castrate me when I get home.
Or she'll make the curry so hot.
I'll shit myself for 2.5 weeks. Just burning my asshole. Just like a fire going through it.
I've had that when you eat spicy food, you're like,
You know there's going to be no entrar para ahora.
That was amazing. The amount of Spanish you just spoke there was more you've ever spoken.
Ever. It sometimes happens.
So that, y'all, Papa Smith says, fine, you can leave, but just we'll let them go. It'll be finished in a year or two, and they'll come back. Y'all, these people are not playing checkers. This is chess.
Yeah.
And even though Jenny's waging a good gambit here by saying, we'll go and they'll accept us in America. Christina and Jen, they don't know what they're up against, sadly. They don't understand saying, we'll welcome him with open arms. And they're like, why? We never have.
They're like, why? What's that? Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
We like it when Sumit is begging us to let him do stuff with the family.
Yeah, well, and what are they going to argue with when Dad says, but a mother, you know, she is hurt because she feels they that Sumit should have kids because a life without kids is nothing. Nothing.
And that is...
It's not a life.
That is very culturally Indian.
It is. We don't agree with that. We don't think that's true. But for them... But again, what this is about is now you understand... I wonder if in the next episode, because I forget, did Christina and him leave in this episode?
It's the next time.
The next time. If they get the culture now, because they acted like they could just come over and just have a reasonable talk, because they're going, because Christina's talking to her wife, Jen, and Jen's going, how, I wonder why your mom can't get through to me. She's like, well, you know how mom is. She starts talking, and then she starts getting flustered, and then her feathers start ruffling up, yeah. And then she's just going, ah, my gosh, she can't. So she thought,
Eats worms.
Just, bark, 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 just going around
when you
pecking.
Get upset, you just eat worms.
So she thought, I'm going to go over and talk for my mom reasonably, but it's beyond that.
You can't argue with this kind of culture. There is culture and there is just exile.
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
There's not, yeah.
And,
it's a very bad, yeah.
And it is, there's no winning here. The only way the only way they're going to be together and be happy really is, well, there's two ways. For Jenny to become okay with Sumit visiting his parents and not bringing her.
But his parents don't want that. I don't think that will still work because his mom does not want them to be married anymore.
True, but what I'm saying is that will be the path of least resistance.
Oh.
Things will stay like they are.
Yeah.
But Sumit's world, the more they don't mention Jenny, the more you can keep up appearances and never talk about her. Which is kind of what Sumit wants.
But I think what's changed, though, now is something happened. I guess when they got married now.
Something has changed within me.
Oh, God.
But there's so much Broadway in my veins.
But now, because the dad talks about, they act like, y'all, I think they're getting telemarketers worse than Publishers Clearing House.
Oh, like because of people calling
them? They act
like
they're getting called and inundated. Just people bullying them. I feel like they just pick up their phone constantly and people just go, ha, ha, old wife, click.
Well, we only can take their word
for
it.
I know, but like, I actually want to know, how many calls a day is it? One? Is it just one crazy aunt who just hates her anyway?
Or it's like, hello? Your son is married to a chicken. Click, click.
Or just, yeah. They
and
call
she's
and just,
old. She's old.
And they just call, hello? No! I mean, is it 20 calls a day? Because they act like they can't even sleep through the night without taking their phone off the hook.
It doesn't matter how many calls a day. It only matters how much shame they feel. And a lot of the shame is here.
Oh, yeah.
So, and... It's unwinnable. The only, like I said, the first one that I said, which is not great for Jenny and not really good for Sumit, but it kind of keeps them in the same stasis, is exactly more of the same.
Yes, but I think it won't stay the same though, because now that they're married, that has pushed mother to another level.
Yeah.
She's going to start pushing kids and all. I think before she was kind of not passively, but teetering on actively, but now she is actively trying to break them up.
The other thing is he just needs to come to the U.S., which I don't think will ever happen.
He will never come to the U.S. And you know why? Because he would feel like he's a nobody. Submit likes to feel special and babied, and he knows that he won't get any of that.
That's true, but also he longs for his mother's teat too much.
No, the baby. Yeah. But I bet his other brother can't stand him.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. Submit's the problem. Hey, hi, I'm the problem, it's me.
Don't put a good song with Submit.
You're right.
He doesn't deserve it.
Well, yeah. The other thing they were trying to talk about is
I just want to say, Christina is crying. She said, I thought we could help. It's heartbreaking for someone to not let them love and be accepted for who they are. Yeah. I don't think that's the issue here.
It's not.
When we originally started talking about them, we related a lot to like gay and coming out.
It's not.
It's not now, because the issue actually is that Submit wants it all.
He does.
He wants it all. He doesn't want to compromise on anything, and he wants almost like to control everybody else's narrative by his own will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really Jenny. It's Submit that's not realistic about this, and he's a person actually born in the culture.
What he's trying to do is thread all these little things together that will let him have it all.
Yeah,
and so that's why I think, even though they are married, I think Submit will go over there every day and try to make it up to mommy until,
let's get some milk a little bit.
Yeah, because he's not getting any milk from a chicken.
No.
They don't give milk.
Mm-mm.
And
she's dried up.
They just feed you worms. Chickens never gave milk.
I know, but I mean, she's also dried up.
Did part of you think, they're like, wait, did chickens give milk?
No.
Okay, good.
Why would they do that to a chicken? Those little beaks just clapping on their tit? That hurt.
I think it would hurt.
That would be very painful.
That's another design flaw.
I mean, this is someone who's used nipple clamps. You can imagine. Those electric ones, too. Don't ask, y'all.
It's shockingly good.
You walk into Poodle's bedroom and just the lights are always flickering.
It's like a prison movie. Ding, 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 ding. There goes another one.
It's terrifying.
So the next day, Himit's taking them to a palace.
Chica Haveli. It looks pretty.
No, this looks wonderful. And Christina says, last night...
Oh, I'm a sad chicken! Sad chicken!
Last night, everything with Submit and his family is like, last night did not go as we hoped.
That's the deal. He says that every time, like, I'm shocked at how things went last night. And I'm just like, what world are you living in? None of us are shocked.
I'll tell you what world he's living in. He was protected his whole life. He was a bumbler. He just fumbles into one thing after another, and his parents or someone else would clean up his mess.
Yeah, I think he's a covert narcissist, too.
I think that's giving him too much credit.
Well, speak
in
to
some
that.
Ways.
What do you mean by too much credit?
I think...
Because I agree with you with the bumbler thing, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I think... covert, maybe. I think it's the opposite. I think his self-esteem is so low, he will do anything to get any type of attention.
Mm.
I think his parents made his self-esteem extremely low.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if his self-esteem is really low or if he's been babied and feels like he should be special. I don't know enough.
Yeah.
But that's a good point to make.
I think we've had this come up before where Indian sisters have told us, Indian boys, especially if the mothers are, will just horribly spoil their children.
Mm-hmm.
And will get them, they will do anything their mothers say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we're definitely in that case. And like Sumit's mother threatens to die every time.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, there's no winning this situation. Mm-mm. Like, it's, it really is. I'm still shocked they got married. I'm still shocked.
You know, if that sister-in-law wanted to get in good, she'd get pregnant right now. Boy, that'd fuck him over.
It would. So Jenny says something really interesting. She's like, Smith's always afraid. He spends his whole life. And I was like, that's true.
It's very true. Yeah,
he spends, and that's why I'm saying he's a bumbler. Mm-hmm. He just goes from one thing to the next. That's why I think you're giving him too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
He might try to control things, but he's never going to try hard enough to actually do it. No, everything is so passive.
He's very lazy.
Yeah.
Very lazy.
And she's like, he needs to prove he can do the same thing for me. That's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
He doesn't see the world that way.
He doesn't, to him, and probably just, we're talking about male and female, he says it's not a big deal for Jenny to give up, or not a big deal, although it's not as big a deal for Jenny to give up the U.S. and move there as it would be for him to, the anointed son, to just leave India.
What's interesting is she's like, we'll get started on your visa. And he gets upset. He's like, you know, well, and he's throwing his gambit. He's like, well, what if we've been thinking about, I thought about having a child and we can just adopt. And Jenny goes, what the fuck?
She said, what the fuck?
And y'all,
but when he said it though, did you see her face for about? She just kind of did that this thing that Jenny does with her eyes, where she goes.
No, she just went because she was kind of in disbelief because this is like old Sumit behavior.
Yeah,
when he says I'm married, remember
when Sumit was married? What a piece of shit to do!
And
to
Jenny
this woman.
Acts out, she's like, "What the fuck?" Because now it's not.
We talked about this 10 years ago.
It's not even anger anymore. It's just absolute disgust when something like this happens. And this is the thing. This is a pattern for these two. There's a certain amount of they're bitter towards one another. They just will never acknowledge it. There's a certain amount of animosity toward that both of them have for one another.
Oh, yeah.
That's so awful for each other.
No, they both resent one another a lot.
Yes, and you can tell that's rough.
That's coming out more when they fight.
Yeah.
Because they get angry and Jenny loses her feathers. I mean, she's not going to have any feathers by the end of this relationship.
But
I don't think she'll ever leave him.
No, I agree. So he said, what I think, this is horrible, I think Jenny will have some kind of health problem. And either she'll need care that requires her U.S. health care, or she'll be afraid she won't go to good health care in India, and she'll go back to the U.S.
Well, Sumit's not going to take care of her if she's sick.
Absolutely not.
She's going to have to go back to Palm Springs and have her daughter take care of her.
Yeah. And so it might be that, and then Sumit occasionally visits, if possible.
It just was a dumb idea for Jenny to move to India from the get-go. It just didn't make sense.
It was misguided. But we all thought it was so romantic the first season.
We did. We did.
And he says, if I have a kid, I would want to raise them in India. So, again, this is his gambit. And I think this is interesting because I think he was kind of – he was almost – felt like he was emasculated right there again in front of his family.
Yeah, because Jenny made a decision without him.
This was to get back at him.
Yeah.
Or to get back at her. And so y'all, and I wrote, Jenny, it's time to put your chicken feet down.
Because Jenny says, where did this come from?
And your Sumit little says, webbed foot.
Your little webbed foot. And Sumit says, well, when I think about my parents and how I want to win their love back. And she says, once again, Sumit will do anything to make his parents happy. And again, it breaks my heart because she doesn't, well, it does break my heart, but it's also like Jenny. Sumit over and over is bending over backwards to make his parents happy. Has Sumit ever bent over backwards to make you happy?
No.
From what we've seen, nothing.
No.
Not one thing.
No. Yeah.
So, there's your answer.
I wonder if he would even do the same with an Indian woman.
No.
I think it will all be about getting this guy's
fucking approval. In love with his mother.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. It's not going to happen for any woman. It's not about Jenny. It's not about anyone. It's about Submit and Mama Submit.
Yeah. And if even if she was his age, Mama Submit would terrorize this woman.
Oh, that other sister-in-law can't stand her mother.
Yeah.
Can't stand her mother, but is so happy that all this is now happening to Submit and not her.
I think Submit's the oldest boy, too. And so he gets it even worse. That's all I've got, y'all. We'll be right back with a extended cut Broadway corner.
I'm sorry.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Song Finch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope.
The state world is a stage. The stage is the world. It's Poodle's Broadway Corner. Y'all, I'm fresh back from New York City.
Literally. He just got back this morning.
I got it. No. I got back at 1:30 to my house today. I took a shower. You came here at 2:30, and we are doing this show.
You all, we are.
I'm raw dogged. I'm pretty loopy, actually. Let me tell you.
I'm really worried for the second show when you have sugar.
I had a medical appointment, something you went to, and then we had some podcast stuff we were trying to do. And I said I was going to do a quick trip, and I'm like, no, I'm almost there for 4 days.
I'm glad you went. I'm glad you went.
Because I haven't been to New York at Christmas time in a really long time, and it's my favorite time of year to go.
It's also like that's what you want to do, and you know it's your Comic Con to me. I'm glad you. It's been a long time since you went to New York and just saw a bunch of shows.
It has been a long time. And here's the thing.
Oh God.
I don't
know where it's gonna happen?
I was kind of there for 4 days. I got in kind of like late on Tuesday, and I had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and so 4 days. I saw 6 shows. 6 shows in 4 days. And I saw friends and met some new friends.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Did a little touring.
That poor person that shared a wall with you at the Renaissance. Shit they heard.
Oh, I was the Westin.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. No, it's not really that nice.
Boy.
Anyway, but... So, I New York at Christmas time. What I did not plan on was yesterday being SantaCon.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I waited to tell you because I needed to tell you on the podcast.
What?
Yes, I was there during SantaCon. If you don't know, if you don't know what SantaCon is, stifle yourself, Edith.
Oh, that's so good.
SantaCon.
Oh, I need a cough drop. Now.
Is when there's a lot of Santas and people dressed in Christmas things. And a lot of times they drink in places.
Yeah. They do bar crawls.
They do bar crawls.
They do this here in LA. I've never done
it. You'd have to be a crazy person to do it.
Okay.
And they're singing on the street badly. And at one point I was fist bumped by someone saying, "Hey, Merry Christmas, bro." And I'm like, "Merry Christmas." The streets are flooded with these people. Already the
Ebenezer
streets of New York,
Poodle was overwhelmed.
I was screaming, "Humbug." Just going, y'all, you should see me. I was just walking in the streets.
Thank you for this gift.
I know, but I knew I should tell you, SantaCon. They're singing, and they and the loudest they're playing. They want, sometimes they have boom boxes or like speakers or like Bluetooth speakers playing Christmas music so loudly, but only the worst Christmas music,
like Wilson Phillips, "Hey Santa."
That I don't. I could almost deal with that.
That's my least favorite.
It's the terrible ones.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
You know, I hate that song. But no, it's like the newer ones.
Oh.
Too. Like there was some Selena Gomez Christmas song they were playing. I was like, what the fuck is that? Anyway, I don't want to talk about that much because that was only my last day.
Were there a lot of older guys, though, there that were Santas that wanted to fuck you?
No, those were mostly in the area where I wasn't. These were mostly young people who were drunk and girls, even though it was cold, girls who were dressed as slutty Christmas ornaments.
Some of you are our listeners.
It was cold and they're like walking around. They're drunk at
Were the guys
noon.
Hot, though?
Oh, yeah, of course they were. But I feel like... I don't know. There's something about a bar crawl Christmas theme that doesn't make sense to me, doesn't resonate with me.
I get that.
Yeah. Anyway, so y'all, the other thing I've got to tell you is if you're in New York, if you go to New York, you know there's a lot of people at this time, and people walk fast. I walk very fast. And when you are, I understand if you're walking in a big crowd, you're taking someone's arm with you. Don't be – it's always women for some reason. The women who lock three arms and walk. Because I'm going to fucking Red Rover you. I'm going to – I did that. I said, "I'm sorry, y'all. I've got to move. You can't do this. You can't walk down the street with arms locked
four
times."
Were they just like scared tourists that were just trying to
– No.
Like...
No. They were tired. They were walking the very fucking middle of the sidewalk.
And just three of them locked arms?
I said – That happens. It seems to happen with women.
I've never noticed it. I'm going to try to notice it.
Watch around. Now. Women do, in groups, like to lock arms.
That doesn't feel comfortable to walk.
I think it's a conviviality kind of thing. I know.
I've never noticed that.
I don't do that. We don't do that.
It doesn't make sense to me why you would. Sorry, I believe you. I'm just trying to wrap my head. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
It does not.
I don't know, but I guarantee you that. Our sissies who are in New York see it. And it's very upsetting.
Really?
Yeah, it's very upsetting. I saw it. You mostly see it in tourist areas.
Why would you do that?
I tried to step 1 foot in Bryant Park, and I was like, nope, too many people. Too many people.
Well, they had the thing where I bought your Christmas gifts from.
You must have. That place was a super spreader event this weekend.
It wasn't as crowded when I went, but I went in November.
So. I gotta talk about shows. I had a blast. Six shows, 4 days. I'm gonna talk about.
Was it too
about,
many shows? Are you glad you saw that many shows?
I'm glad I saw that many shows.
Good.
I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about who should go to see them. I'm not going to tell anyone not to see a show.
I agree with that.
So
I think anyone should go.
I want everyone to see a Broadway show.
I agree with that.
Because my kind of show is not the kind of show that everyone wants to see.
Agreed.
And people and I generally despise most of the popular taste of Broadway.
Like, I did not want to see... I love Renee Fleming, but I would not want to see an opera of the hours.
I now I agree with you. And I will...
But I mean, but normally
gonna,
you would.
I'm going to be shady in some of these reviews, but
no,
I'm going to be shady in some reviews. But I'm going to tell you who should go.
Okay.
First show I saw, Strange Loop. I don't even want to give too much away. It is about a black, fat, gay man. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a musical theater writer. It's about him writing his show. That's the show. Normally, I hate that shit of that kind of meta theater of how do I write my show? What do I do? How do I write about my life? And it's in the show. I hate that. Don't. It's icky for me. This, the guy, Michael R. Jackson, who wrote it, hung a lantern on every bad trope of it, and he pointed it out, and he inoculated himself with it. And it's brilliant. It's so heartfelt. It hits everything, and it's hilarious.
Oh, good.
It closes January 15th.
I didn't know it was funny.
It's hilarious. If it closes January 15th, if you're near New York, please go see A Strange Loop. It is fantastic.
It's an everybody show.
It's an everybody show.
Okay.
Especially if you like to hear songs that says, Inwood Daddy Sucking Cock on a Saturday Morning.
Oh, it's a sissy show.
Inwood Daddy Sucking Cock on a Saturday Morning.
So it's a dick pig. It's a sissy show.
It is. It's pretty dirty. But the women who are around me, he's like, so there was one scene, I'm not even going to talk about it, but it's like, he's kind of on stage getting mimed. This man's fucking him. And these women beside me, I'm just like on either side of me, these women in their 70s. And I was kind of like looking around. And I'm not going to give it away, but there's some of the things that are being said. I was just like, okay, I'm uncomfortable.
They're 70-year-old women in New York have seen it all.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I can't say enough about it. There's a reason it won the Tony for Best Musical. It's not going to tour because they're not going to see this in Alabama. It's too gay. It's too black. And there's a whole thing about how Tyler Perry movies are terrible.
That's funny.
And at one point, all of Black America in a fantasy gets mad at him. All Black History, and the one man playing Harry Tubman goes, "How dare you say anything about Tyler Perry?"
That's funny.
It's genius. Zora Neale Hurston is like, how dare you?
Well, because that's a lot of thing of like, there's a lot of kind of within black. I don't want to speak too much about it because clearly I'm not black, but just from friends. But there's, there's sometimes the queer black community and the non-queer black community are at odds with one another.
That's what this writer takes on all of it.
I'm excited to see it. I think you said it'll come to LA, and I agree with you. I think it'll come to LA eventually.
It'll do a sit down. They won't do a tour. If they do a tour, I'll be shocked.
No, it'll be like a residency something.
Loved it. Everyone should see it.
Everyone's show.
Especially
okay.
Your conservative aunt.
All right.
I'll do an
ass slap if it's good, and then Christina will do the noise where it goes ding.
Christina, you don't have to do that. The Hours, the opera, the only opera I saw at the Met.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Renee Fleming, this, based on the same book and movie of the same title.
Renee Fleming, Kelly O'Hara.
Kelly O'Hara and Joyce DiDonato.
I don't know who that is.
She's a hugely famous opera star right now. You would love her.
Oh, okay.
She does these like masterclass talks.
I'm going to look her up while you talk.
So... Here's the problem, as I see it. You have a story that is very small scale, and on a big time scale, with three different stories and how they intersect in these women's lives. Basically, the story is of Virginia Woolf writing Mrs. Dalloway and trying to figure out how to start. And the very famous first sentence of Mrs. Dalloway is, "Mrs. Dalloway decided she would buy the flowers herself." That's the very first line. It kind of was very groundbreaking in that way of how to determine a character.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second person, a woman in the 50s, Laura Brown, who is reading The Hours, reading Mrs. Dalloway.
If you in the movie, we can use that. That's
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
Yeah, and Nicole Kidman is Virginia Woolf. And Meryl Streep is a woman named Clarissa, who is like who Ed Harris, the writer, calls Clarissa Dalloway. So that would kind of be supposed to be the character of Mrs. Dalloway, who is buying flowers for a party she's going to throw for Ed Harris. Anyway, all that being
this
said,
is the most poodle movie.
I love the film. It's you one did. Of my favorite films. And I love the book, too. So I say this was perfectly made for me. The problem I had was they threw so much shit at this. There was a huge chorus that did nothing but saying, flowers, flowers, she loved the flowers herself. And it was too much.
Gosh.
Then there were dancers who at one point had like pillows. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I turned to the man who sitting beside me, who was from Georgia. And I said, what the fuck is this? he's like, I don't know. He's like, I can't even hear the singers. The orchestra's so big. I said, I know. It's too much. Less, Matt. Less. Take it down a notch.
Y'all are like those two gay Muppets up there in boxes. Just
he was married to a woman, but we were people.
Yeah.
So anyway, when they sang together at the end in this trio, it was kind of the best thing at the end. Barry Rosenkavalier trio-esque. Beautiful, gorgeous. I've been waiting for it all fucking night. It was wonderful, and I was like, okay. But it was 2.5 hours of really convoluted stuff.
And I feel like if you're going to make an opera of the hours,
yeah.
We already have the film.
Yeah.
You already have the book of Mrs. Yep. Dalloway. So what the hours did is that it took the book of Mrs. Dalloway and it created something inspired from that. And
you mean
from
the film. The film and the book.
Yes. Did the opera create anything
it added,
new and inspiring?
It didn't really add enough. Hmm. That was my problem.
Because you've really got to take a turn or just give a new perspective or something.
I wanted them to sing together more.
Hmm.
Or to sing certain things. They kind of did that echoing. It didn't work, though. It wasn't, this is horrible to say, it wasn't inspired enough.
No, yeah, that's what
now, I'm going to say this. They're never going to do this opera again because they'll never have three big stars. The last date, I think you can see it, is December 15th. If you are a fan, who should go? If you are a fan of Renee Fleming, Kelly O'Hara, Joyce DiDonato, and you would think and you feel like you're going to spooge all over yourself if you see all three of them sing together, it's worth the price of admission. I'm glad I saw it. If anything, I can be shady about it. Other than that, I think you can skip it.
Okay.
And I was very excited about seeing this.
Okay.
And it felt like it would be right up my alley.
That's the reason that led you to New York.
Yes.
This was your North Star.
It was. Then someone went up my alley later. I got to keep going. This can't take forever. Show 3. What was
it's
show
already taking forever.
Show
too
three
late.
Was Kimberly Akimbo. Fantastic new show by Janine Tesori and I'm going to fuck David Lindsay Abaire. Beautiful little show. Couldn't remember a single tune. I could kind of, but it is so beautiful and so small in its scope. Victoria Clark plays a teenager who has a genetic disorder where she looks like she ages 5 to 10 years for every year of her life.
Okay.
So Victoria Clark is an actress. She was in Light in the Piazza. She was the mother in Light in the Piazza. Victoria Clark's done so many things through Broadway. She's brilliant. She's this woman who she kind of playing a teenager. The cast is fantastic. Bonnie Milligan as her aunt steals the show. She's on TikTok a lot. Very funny script, hugely funny book, very heartwarming, and it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. I don't want to spill anything.
Okay.
Really good. My friend Ali Mazzi is in it. She plays the mom. She was how I got tickets to see it. Were you in my show, Oh God, We're Gonna Die, Ali was the flight attendant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good for her.
Yeah, she's the mom. And the cast is fantastic. They're on ice skates sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Who should see it? People who love small scale shows who love to be led by their hearts.
Okay.
You don't need tons and tons of sparkle on the stage.
I would like that.
It's a beautiful show. It's probably going to win best score. even though I can't remember anything. I guarantee you after a couple of listens, I'll be able to hear some stuff. But the music serves the story so well.
Okay.
Speaking of my next show.
Oh, hold on. Let's give it an ass slap.
Some Like It Hot. This is the exact opposite.
Yeah, I loved it.
I remember. It's interesting because you really told me to go see this. And I don't want to. I'm going to disagree with you.
I don't care.
Here's the problem with the show for me. The tunes are fantastic. I could actually sing some of them.
Yeah,
after.
That's good music.
You could put any of those songs in any show.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
I'm like that, and that it makes it even more apparent when they have one of the songs from Smash in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I told.
Now, old musicals did this all the time, but here's the problem. Let me go back a little bit. This is based on the movie Some Like It Hot in 59 with Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, Billy Wilder movie, very screwball comedy of two jazz musicians who witness a hit, so they have to go on to dress in women's clothes to
get away
in order
from the mob,
to
yeah.
get away, and they join a women's band.
I should see it.
It's very funny. It you have to think of its time, and the cast is great. The dancing is fantastic.
It's
the
tap fantastic.
Dancing is spectacular.
Yeah, it is.
I got halfway through Act One, and I'm like, why am I not connected to this storyline at all?
Mm.
And I realized, because there are two books happening, and I can't tell who's the main character. I can't tell, because part of the book is telling me that it's Sugarcane.
I agree with that, yeah.
And part of the book is telling me it is one of these brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And also I don't know what either one of them arcs are, what their arcs are. I also don't know what Sugarcane's arc is, because in the movie Marilyn was
I haven't seen the movie.
Trying to she was a kind of a down on her luck kind of, she was very like desperate to marry up, and that's not a good plot line for a musical in 2022. Mm. So there were no stakes. That's the problem with the whole show. I realized after it, there are no stakes in this show. We never thought they were going to get caught by the mob.
Mm.
Why care? Now, did I enjoy the Some Like It Hot number? Yes. I loved every musical number I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But I left going, why this piece? Why today?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can think of is something that they already added to the new piece is one of the brothers, Harrison G., basically says, I feel comfortable like this as a woman. And that was moving. And there were also some things about race that they were saying. The show was saying like five things, but never completely said anything. And and then at the end of it, I just went, this is very frustrating for me. Because if I turn my brain off completely, I think I would really enjoy this. However, the writers of the show do not want you to turn your brain off. They mm-hmm. want you to learn something, but they're spoon-feeding you something that is not really, that is kind of garbled. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different things that don't really make a lot of sense.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
I didn't have that experience, but I can understand
that. Yeah. But a lot of people loved it. Don't get me wrong.
Like the woman who thought I was David, she said after the show, she looked at me, she said, I love this show because it wasn't preachy. So she kind of liked that they didn't double down on the messages.
You don't really have to, though.
I know, but I'm just saying that was her take on it.
Yeah. You have to make it, that part wasn't preachy. Because there were two book writers.
Yeah,
they brought Amber Ruffin in. What I kept hearing was they kept saying, well, they made a really why would we as look at me? What do you think I'm going to be able to do? Like a lot of black women, I'm thinking that is true,
mm-hmm.
but I think why not throw away Some Like It Hot altogether? Write your own script. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have two men trying to hit away from the mob, because the setup is a screwball comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're telling us in the beginning. And the stakes are of a screwball comedy. The story does not go that way.
So who should see it then?
Who should
obviously
see it?
Maddie. I loved it. It gave me so much
who
joy.
Should see
I would
it?
See it again.
Who should see it? People who love big, classic musicals.
Which is me. I love big, classic musicals.
Me too. If you if you squint too much, you'll see they should have done two more workshops. This thing wasn't workshopped hardly at all.
Mm.
That's the problem. Because you will, if I guarantee if you saw it again, I'd point to you storylines that were completely abandoned in Act 2. And it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's shoddy show writing, actually. I was kind of shocked.
Which I let pass, honestly. If the music is good, I'll let the book pass more.
But none of the songs, I thought they were all fun. None of the songs moved me at all unless it was his song in the second act. Everything else was a fun toe tapper, but didn't do anything for me. Even her song about wanting to be a star, which I think is a terrible arc for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't because she's a black woman. That is true. But again, I thought she was the main character after a while.
It is a confusing character show.
And I don't think a show can afford that, a new show. The reviews have been good to mixed.
Mm-hmm.
But I say go see a show like this. Don't worry, y'all. This show's going to run for a long time. It's going to be done in every single regional theater because men want to dress like women.
Look at us.
I know. Fifth show.
I'm exhausted.
In 2 days. This is a long corner, I told you. You Will Get Sick, an off-Broadway play starring Linda Lavin from Alice. I'm still thinking about this piece. It's about terminal illness. I don't want to say too much. And if you have a chance to see this and you like, who should go? If you like challenging theater, that little experimental theater that you don't have to ask, wait, why is that happening? That you're kind of figuring out what reality you're not really in, and you love that. And then at the end, you're like, oh, but not everything was like put aside, but this was a great meditation on this. I'm still thinking about what I saw. The direction by Sam Pinkerton is excellent. It is at the Roundabout. I highly recommend it. It's Strange Loop, Kimberly Akimbo, and that show was my favorites.
Good for Linda Lavin.
She's so funny, hysterical. Although I don't know, same night I saw Top Dog Underdog. Very different show. That's a two-hander. It's a two-person show, two-person play. First, Suzanne Laurie Park's play. And this won the Pulitzer Prize, I want to say in the 90s.
Or was it?
Yeah. Two brothers. One is a three-card Monte dealer, and the other, it's basically about how the American dream doesn't work for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
especially if you are low-income and black.
Mm-hmm.
But it does it in a way that is her writing speaks like poetry, so you never feel like you're getting a message.
Who's in it? Two famous people.
Not really famous. Corey Hawkins and Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Well, he's famous
in comic world.
I mean, he was in Aquaman. That was huge. He was in he was in Aquaman, and he was also in it was huge on HBO, The Watchmen.
Watchmen. But Watchmen. I'm saying to a theater audience.
But he's an up and coming actor, though.
Yes,
he's starting to like.
But
yeah.
This is his Broadway debut.
Oh,
that's
good for
why
him.
I'm saying. But Corey Hawkins was in 6 Degrees of Separation, and so they played two brothers. Again, I can't. I read this play in college. Fantastic play. It speaks off the page. It is an intense evening. I highly recommend it if you want to see if two actors just doing their best work. And a really, if you love like poetry in the theater, it's really good. Corey Hawkins probably is going to win a Tony. Maybe Yahya Abdul-Mateen. But I think Corey Hawkins will win the Tony because he's phenomenal.
Gets an ass slap.
Yeah, those four. The two I would not recommend for me, people like me, are The Hours and Some Like It Hot.
All right.
But I loved everything else I saw.
There you go.
That's Food on Broadway.
Y'all, Angela and Michael met the goofballs. That's the show. That's the show, everybody. No.
Basically, it is.
Basically, it is the show. Really, there's not. Ugh. Let me open up my notes.
It's time for Michael and Angela. Angela Michael. And Michael.
Let's do it. They're going all their way to see the goofballs. Y'all, really?
How'd they know I was in Nigeria? And I like it how they found out, y'all, because there had been reports of crazy white woman in the town.
When she goes to see them, they're like, how'd you know I was here? And he's like, we heard of crazy white woman making big fuss in the town.
In the Nigerian Sentinel, the jail blotter had crazy white woman takes tears up car. And they went, her cigarette started a fire. And the goofballs went, that's Angela.
That's Angela. And Angela kind of goes, oh. She doesn't shut her up, but she kind of just is like, whoa, I didn't expect that.
Well, and then, y'all, this is the point where, and the goofball's like, Michael, where have you been? Why are you not on Instagram? I'm like, okay, everybody's in on it.
That's what I feel like.
Everybody's in on it. They want to rile her up, or they're doing it to keep the narrative of the show going.
I think it felt fraudacity. I think Angela and Michael, I don't even think they probably have that much of a problem with goofballs anymore. Yeah.
No.
It feels all fake.
Why it feels fake? Because there doesn't seem like there are actual feelings attached now.
No, it doesn't feel like there's feelings attached. And also, I don't think Michael would ever get angry at the goofballs in real life and take up for his wife as a plot point of now Angela's like, well, now he showed me he takes up for me and he loves me. And I went, this feels fake.
You know, it felt very convenient.
It just was too synchronous.
What it is because real life is messy. And
look at us.
I know.
You're sitting right here on the intimate portrait. You're going, where the fuck am I right now?
I'm just you're just petting yourself with your Cheeto fingers.
Yeah.
Give me some of that Cheetos. Clunk, clunk, clunk,
clunk, clunk, clunk, just wanting to get away.
I think this is all fraudacity.
Agreed. I wrote the same thing. And you know what I've learned? If you think it and I think it, then A, usually everybody else is thinking it, and B, it's usually true.
That's good. We figured that out.
No, but how many times do we both have a feeling and then we find out six months later it was true?
Neither of us really talk about anything about the show before we go on the podcast.
We lay it all out here for you. Yeah. We keep it all here for you, sissy.
If I do start to talk about something, I'm screamed at.
Save it!
And I'm... Because y'all, you know how much I don't like to be silenced.
Well, I'm not silencing you. I'm just asking you to speak at another time.
It's childhood trauma. I was silenced as a child. I wasn't allowed to talk.
Well, I didn't cause that. I can't cure it. And I can't remember what the other one is.
Helpful. Just know my triggers. That's all I ask.
I really don't have much. They go to that. Angela's upset that the goofballs for not telling him to take down his Instagram. And I'm like, why are they going to be like, you're such a wonderful wife?
No, absolutely not.
It's just all ridiculousness.
So I want to just do one more thing. Just say, she says, if I didn't love him, I wouldn't do this. This is where it's not fraudacity. I think she does love him.
I do too.
It is not a well type of love.
I don't think
let's just
healthy
say that.
Love and this go together. No.
No. But... and I think the way their relationship, she does need to control him. Yep. She does need to be the boss, as they say. Part of being in the relationship with Michael is that Michael either has grown to like that kind of relationship, or he is playing this out till he can get to the States, which I'm like, fine either way. As long as we find that people are being safe. Does it feel... does she verbally abuse him? Yes. Full stop.
Full stop. But Michael, there's a difference of someone who's being verbally abused and they want to get out of this relationship.
Yeah.
And they feel trapped in this relationship. There's nothing trapping Michael. If he wanted to get to the U.S., he could do it with somebody else.
Yeah.
Who's not on TV, and it wouldn't be hard. It would be very easy for him to do. So... it is, she controls him, but at the same, now the only thing that really gross about this is, at least from what we're seeing, Angela controls all the money now.
That's the worst part.
That's insidious.
Yeah. That's the worst part. So they say bye-bye to their bed that's been the finest bed ever to them.
Yeah, she got some good Michael Cunnilingus in there, I bet. Just like, rawr.
And then they say, Michael says, I'm alone again, which was kind of telling because that just tells you Michael has the same problem with abandonment as Angela does.
Question. What happened to Renee?
I have not thought about her.
What happened to Renee?
I have not thought about Renee in 3 episodes.
Angela just left Renee in Nigeria.
I think Renee was probably fed to lions.
I don't know. Did she say I'm leaving early and we forgot about it?
I think she might, but it was soft pedaled. I have not thought about Renee. As soon as you said the name Renee, first I went, who? Renee Russo?
What happened to Renee Russo? God, I think she had her in that golf movie.
I think she had work done on her face.
Really?
It wasn't the best work.
No.
Yeah. I think I was a big Renee Russo fan.
Really?
Thomas Crown Affair.
Oh, I did enjoy the Thomas Crown Affair. Renee Russo.
My mother and I saw that movie together.
You did?
Yeah.
It's good. Oh, you know
it's
what?
A good mother, gay son movie.
She was just in the latest, Avengers. She plays Thor's mother, and she looked great in those movies.
Okay,
she looked like herself. She didn't look weird at all.
Okay, for some reason, I thought I was worried that she'd had, because that sometimes happens.
No, she looked, Renee Russo is 68 years old.
Good for her. Good for her.
Good.
I think that's what you're seeing, though. There's not a lot of roles for women who are 68 years old.
Well, you know what?
Lots of them for men, though.
That's it.
Lots of them for men.
I didn't know she's married to Dan Gilroy.
I don't know who that is.
I feel like, why do I know him?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, well.
You know who that is?
I know that they said that name, and I'm like, they're blue on Wikipedia. They have their own little thing. I forgot Renee Russo was in Lethal Weapon 4. Sorry, this is in 3. This is all coming. Tin Cup. That was the movie.
I'd prefer to move on.
That's the show, everybody. I don't got anything else.
No. Next time, we're checking in with Jovi and Yara. Boy.
Jovi and Yara, Kim and Usman, and then Libby and Andre.
We finally have a new storyline-ish.
Ish.
Ish.
All right, everybody. That's so you know the deal. Go to our realitygaze.com. Go to our website. Go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen. And we
or on picklefinder.net. Oh, that's my review.
Yeah, that's Piano Cat 77 reviews. We appreciate it. Y'all go check out our social media on TikTok and our Instagram. And I think that's it. We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts just looking for love in all the wrong places, poodle?
I just forgot who the first person that we talked about was. Oh, I know what it is. You do it. My brain is a little...
Oh, he's had sugar. I know what it is.
I know what it is.
Sat through a 30-minute Broadway corner and wonder, what the fuck podcast are we? You know what? It was more interesting than Happily
How
Ever
dare
After.
You?
But
Y'all,
if,
go see A Strange Loop.
If you sat through a Broadway corner and now you want to go see a Broadway show, call us.
Go see A Strange Loop.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.